baby.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am your host, Kimberly Sherrell. This is Real Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me so bright and early on a Saturday morning. I do appreciate it. First of all, let me just say Merry Christmas. By the time I talk to you next week, Christmas would have passed. Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever it is that you celebrate this time of the year, merry, happy, be blessed, all of those things. Again, this is Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kimberly Sherrell, everyone's favorite Southern Belle. Today we are talking about the black man. I don't think there's another man on this earth that is my favorite other than the black man. Let me just plug that in first and foremost before we get started talking about him. So I have an announcement to make. Yes, I do have a co-host, Keon McCall. He's an actor. You might have seen him. You know, he had an appearance in Drumline with Nick Cannon. Unfortunately, the 9 to 5 has my boy shackled right now. So he will not be joining us on air this morning, but I do have a couple of guests that will be on air. And, of course, you know my favorite caller, Jordan, will be joining us shortly, along with one of my good friends, Mr. Hashim Connor, will be joining us on air as we talk about the black man. So definitely want to get you prepared for everything that is coming. Now, the topic for today is the evolution of the black man. How has the role of the black man changed over the years? Is society's perception of him changing in a more positive direction? That's what we're talking about. So, I mean, it sounds like, it could get to, a very interesting conversation this morning. So we're definitely, ready to just dig in. Let's talk about it. Let's see it. So right now we're going to bring on, of course, every Real Talk listener's favorite caller. Going to bring Jordan on the air with me. I see he's calling in right now. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I guess we lost him. He was on air with us. Maybe he'll call back. Those of you who are interested in calling into the show, let me tell you right now that the number is 646-595-4522. Hello? Okay. Having some switchboard issues this morning. I apologize to anyone who is calling. I honestly don't know what is going on with it this morning. Hello? Yeah. All right, so the perception on the black man. We have had many discussions about the black man over the past couple of years, talking about as far as the way he is viewed, the way other people perceive him. Is he getting a bad rap? Right now, I'm going to go ahead and introduce to you the guest of the day, Mr. Hashim Connor. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Okay. So
hey.
The guest is... Hey.
Hi. I know you had to open the phone line. How you doing? I'm Cliff. I'm part of the BTR family. How are you today?
I'm good. Who am I speaking with again?
This is Cliff.
Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I seen your profile yesterday. I didn't know what you were talking about, so I'm asking. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about the evolution of the black man. How has this role of the black man changed over the years? Is he getting a bad rep by society?
Good topic.
Yep. I agree. It is a good topic. Anything in particular you would like to say about that?
Yes, there is. I have a particular issue with some of the females in my home city that have a thing about black men in general, that they don't take care of their kids. I don't have any kids myself. You know, it's just crazy to hear them say that because it's not always true. Not every black man has the, what's the word I'm looking for? feel completely minute, but not every black man does that. Some
black
men, not personally know, take care of their children, whether they're married or divorced or just had kids out of wedlock. But, you know, I had an incident with a lady that I personally knew that her children's father, they were married, they got divorced about 3 years ago, told me that since he didn't take care of my kids, I take care of myself. Well, that's good. You got to be the mother and father sometimes. But she said that she don't think she can ever find another black man to fall in love with again. And I'm like, well, you don't know that. But she made every guy that she met pay for her husband's ex-husband's mistakes, including me. And I wasn't saying that. So,
You know what, Cliff? I'm so glad you said that, because that's very interesting to me, because that is one of the things that I was going to actually plug in about, you know, the perception that black men don't take care of their kids. I've dated several guys over the last couple of years who were full custodial parents to their kids.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it's very interesting to me that sort of rap comes, because I know several women, I will not, you know, put them out there like that, but I know several women who do not take care of their kids.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it goes both ways. It definitely goes both ways. Hold that thought real quick, Cliff. I think I have another call on there. Hello?
Hello.
What's going on, Jordan? How you doing?
I'm good today. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. So right now, Real Talk Radio, I have on the air with me Cliff, who's a fellow host, and I have everyone's favorite caller, Jordan, on the air. So let's just keep the discussion going. Cliff?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Jordan, you have anything you want to plug in about the discussion right now, the evolution of the black man? Right now we're discussing the perception that black men do not take care of their kids, and I think that the other perception is everybody perceives that all black men have at least 3 or 4 kids.
Well, yeah, that is true. I've been in many situations where women automatically feel like I have kids. But I guess I'm looking at it in a sense. It seems as if today's society, the switchboard is coming back over in a sense. Because, like, it seems like the woman has so much power in the justice system to the point where they can use it against the man, you know? So I feel like guys are beginning to actually stand up for themselves. I guess that's how I feel about the situation.
Okay.
And actually take charge of their situation and get custody of their children, actually fight for it. That's part of the evolution, I guess.
Okay. Interesting. That's very interesting. What about the whole, you know, how do you deal with that? People just automatically assuming you have kids, and this is to Jordan and to Cliff, because personally, I get those same type of questions. People find it very hard to believe that I am, you know, I guess you could say, quote unquote, you know, have success in my life, career-wise, and don't have any kids. And I'm a little offended by that assumption that I have kids. They don't ask if you have kids anymore. They ask how many.
Oh, my God. Are you for real?
Yes. Yes. I am asked the question, how many kids do you have? I'm like, I don't have any kids. Like, why would you automatically assume that I have kids? Okay, yes, I'm 29. I'm proud to say that. I'm 29 years old. I don't have kids. And to me, it's not such a stretch. I mean, they're called condoms. They work.
I understand that. And I guess,
you know what? I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
Oh, like, usually when women approach me, that's generally one of the first few questions that they ask. They ask me, how many kids do you have? And I'm kind of wondering why. I guess as a young African-American that is actually doing something for itself, you know, it's kind of endangered species, or they're not used to it. They're used to the prototypical dope boy, or they're used to the person, you know what I'm saying, the little player, quote-unquote, pimp or whatever. I guess that's what they're used to, so they're not really used to a man actually trying to do things right.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm laughing myself, because I'm in the same boat too. I'm 38, and I have no kids, been engaged twice, both failed. But my thing is this, I do want children one day, but I want to have the right way. I want to have an inside marriage. If I have an outside, that's cool. I want to meet a woman who I have kids by. And it's so hard where I live. I'm in Arkansas. And there are so many limitations that the women here put on a black brother or a black man. I have been told literally by a person that asked me questions. They asked me, are you gay? I said, hell no. Why? Because I don't have kids. I love my sisters. It's like gay bone in my body. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I just shut them down. I said, you know what? And I asked her, I said, are you a lesbian? They're going to get mad, but you ask me, hey, I'm going to ask right back. So I'm like, because I don't have 400 or 500 kids running around Arkansas, I'm a bad person all of a sudden. Like, stupid. I'm like, no, I ain't gay. I'm very heterosexual. I love my sister.
Now what? I wish someone would just ask me, well, are you a lesbian? You know, that would be a great thing for a follow-up question for someone to ask me after they ask me, do I have kids? Why do you have to have kids? I mean, I will admit, there did seem to be a little trend going on. Everybody wanted to be a baby mama and a baby dad. You know, Jodeci had a little song, "I Forever My Lady." And it sounded real good, you know, on the CD, but that did not make me want to just, you know, have kids for a man I barely know and don't love. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I mean, can we all just get back on, you know, the boat of bringing back a traditional family where the parents are together and they're in love and we raise the children together? Can we just get back to that, please? That's really what I'm shooting for.
Exactly.
That's the thing. See, like, today's society don't really, quote-unquote, accept that. That is not what we're used to. I mean, the society has changed from the prototypical household, you know, your grandmother, your great-grandmother that stays at home, cook, do all this, and the father goes out and work. Today's society is not like that. You know, people got to get what they can on the run. They got to have a little side time, but they're trying to separate their careers away from their personal life, and it's becoming a hindrance in a sense. It's slowing everybody up, and you're not able to, I guess, have that temperament. Intimacy between a man and a woman, and it be genuine.
Mhm. Okay. Definitely. So right now, got a caller. Call it in. Let's see what the comment is that is going on. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. You're on the air with Kay Sherrell. This is Real Talk Radio. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Brenda Lawson.
Good morning, Ms. Lawson. So glad you could join us so bright and early this morning. The topic this morning is the evolution of the black man. You have a comment?
Yes, I do. My comment is black men are a wonderful species.
I agree with you on that. There's nothing that's more beautiful than the black man. I mean, I've written several poems about it. I totally agree with you. I think that Cliff and Jordan would, you know, join you in that agreement as well.
Yes.
Yep. I love myself.
You love your non-gay self, Cliff.
I love myself. Heterosexual, tip top of my head, bottom of my feet.
What do you think about the pretension of the black man, Ms. Lawson?
Well, they have great pretension. I think that if they were to start, most of them, not all of them, if most of them, especially today's black men, were to start thinking more positive about themselves, that they have great pretension. They can do anything.
Very, very.
Today's black men don't think positive enough about themselves.
Well, I agree to an extent on that one. I would say that the black man usually gets down on themselves because of everything that's around them. You know, like humans in general, we in general are a creature of our habitat. So, I mean, if you put a black man in a bad situation, you tell me how he's going to react. He's only going to deal with what he has. I mean, even back in the caveman days, I mean, what did the man do? If your family was hungry, he went out and got something to eat. Now, if you don't have a family, it's about survival. He's just going to go out and live. He's going to do what a man do. Men have their own habits. We have our own. It's DNA. That's what we do, generally.
Yes, I agree with that in a sense. But today, they ain't doing nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. They have the potential to do a lot. But they're not doing nothing.
Okay, will you tell me, okay, you said they're not doing anything now, and they used to do a lot. What was the quote-unquote a lot that they used to do that you aren't seeing now?
Well, in the past, for example, they used to take care of their family. They did what a black man should do, take care of their family, look out for their families, feed, work, head of household. They did that back then. Even if he was a drunk, he took care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they don't care about their families like they did back in the day. And even if they do, they don't show it.
Yeah,
it's all about showing what you do. And today is all about myself. I got to look good. I got to
live
the best.
But I wouldn't just say that that's just the man, though, because I see that on a lot of women. I do agree that there seems to be this new selfish vibe that's going on, but I'm not going to just throw it on just the black man. Now, because women are selfish, too, and I think that maybe, I don't know, let me just throw this question out there and let me ask this, because it was I saw, you know, comedy movie the other night, and the comment was made in the movie, you got to let a man be a man. And I'm just going to throw this question out there for Jordan and Cliff and Ms. Boston. You got to comment, you know, feel free to jump in on that. Do you feel like that maybe this perception of black men no longer take care of their family, do you think that part of maybe why some of them are walking away is because they don't feel like women are allowing them to be women with this new independence, this new modern woman, you know, this new selfish vibe, or I'm going to take care of me and, you know, you take care of you, or, you know, the little famous saying, I'm going to do me and you do you?
I agree with that to an extent. And I can't just say it's the black man's fault. It has part, this is my feeling. It had part to do with the black woman, the reason why they are the way they are, and the government.
Let me
explain. When you got the government giving the black woman food, shelter,
mm-hmm.
clothing, even giving them a ride to work, the black man feel, and then you got the black woman saying, I don't need you. I don't need you. Get out my house.
Mm-hmm.
It left him feeling worthless. He didn't, not only seeing that in his house now, or his woman's house, he's seeing that in the house he grew up in, where his mama was telling her man, I don't need you. Get out of my house. That made him feel worthless.
Well, I mean, I could see that. I honestly feel like it was kind of a chain reaction that got sparked in the early 60s, on up into the 70s, on up into the 80s. Because, I mean, you got to look at everything that's behind it to see how the black man come to where he is today. Because, I mean, like she just said, like Ms. Lawson just said, that the divorce rate began to raise slowly. And then it just shot up because I don't understand how it got there. I didn't grow up in that era. But, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, obviously the divorce rate is higher. Marriages fall within the first 2 years. And, I mean, with women getting right, I mean, that's just how things turned out. So, I mean, you can't really blame it on one or the other, in a sense. But we're talking about the black man, and I feel, honestly, like that's why men are looked down upon, because they're not able to, well, they're not, it's not that they're not able to, they just don't do, they don't meet the expectations, I guess, that people put on them. Because, I mean, obviously, women seem to not have blame in anything these days. Like, I mean, that's what women do. That's what people say. I mean, that's what a woman job is, a woman job is, automatically. A man, why can't you be a man? I mean, the question I ask is, why can't you be a lady? So, I mean, it's kind of a...
Okay. So, one thing, I got a new caller on the line. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? New caller on the line? Who am I speaking with?
This is Calvin Rogers from Macon.
What's going on, Calvin Rogers from Macon? You're on the air with Kay Sherrell. This is Real Talk Radio. We're talking about the evolution of the black man. Okay, what's your comment?
I think as we were evolved, we've lost touch with ourselves because of economics. We've got more money. We've got more things that we can buy and do and operate. And just like anybody, when you get an abundance of something, you sometimes go overboard. In the situation of Tiger Woods that you talked about last week, you can buy anything that you want, but at a point you get bored with that, and then you start to get things that you can't buy, like people. And that's where we've come, and we've evolved to.
Okay. So, let me ask you this then. One of the things that was thrown out there, you know, is about allowing a man to be a man, and I agree totally what you said about, you know, the more you have, it does kind of bring on that whole more money, more problems. And you mentioned that you can buy more things, but you can't really buy people. I think you can buy people in reference, you know, the comments from last week about Tiger Woods. But at the same token, you can buy people, but you can't control people. So
you can control them to an extent, but I think after a while, you know, you control them up to a point where, you know, they gonna either, you know, be conformed, or they're gonna get tired of being controlled, and that's where the dissolution of that relationship comes to place.
Okay.
I think you, in a sense, when you talk about buying people, you buy what you pay for. You're not buying things. You're buying somebody who's going to do what you want them to do and say what you want them to say. Because the first time they disagree with you, you ain't buying them no more.
You may not. It's just like when you buy something at the store, you if it don't work like you want it to work, you take it back. Or you try to fix it. It's just like with people. If they disagree with what you say, don't do what you want them to do, you know, you try to fix it, or either you move on. It's just...
Exactly.
I guess you have to look at, like, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm a behind-the-scenes type guy. I see today's society, the pride, in a sense, has been changed or been shifted. It took a shift, in a sense, because, I mean, everybody wants to make money, period. Now it's to a point where women begin to say, if you can't take care of me, then I'm not going to be with you. And it's all about money. And it's the same thing for a man. If a man feels like he can't take care of you, he's not going to take care of you. In a sense, it's not about love anymore, you know, like, because, I mean, I remember my grandmother and grandfather, if they didn't like each other, they stayed together because of the love.
Yeah.
They didn't stay together because of the money. It was the love, because my grandparents were poor. So you tell me, why did they stay together? Today's society, how do you let a recession break up your love? I mean, it happens so regularly.
Well, let me say this about the whole money and love thing, because I've had to address this before in a previous relationship, and it's like, I agree, it's not all about money, but let's keep it real, since this is real talk. We keep it real right now. You cannot tell me that love is going to be enough for a marriage, a household, when you cannot pay for your electric bill. You cannot buy food. You cannot do things. Money is important in a marriage. We might as well just be honest about that. Money matters when it comes to, because if you're not able to, like, take care of the house, then that's it. But I do agree that love should be important as well. I feel like if you love each other enough, you're going to put your heads together and figure out a way to make it work past money issues.
That's exactly the whole point of me saying this. It was like, it's not about the money. In a sense, if you love each other, when you love someone, you want that person to be uplifted, and the same thing vice versa. So I think in a marriage or whatever, in a relationship, one wants to elevate themselves instead of elevating the other. I want to support you, so I want to lift you up, and the woman is like, and you're not getting that in return. So, I mean, how can it be lopsided? It can't be 60-40. It can't be 70-30. It has to be 50-50 in the same sense. I have to have a wife to try to uplift me, and I got to do the same thing for my wife.
Well,
I can say for myself that no relationship is ever 50-50. There's going to be times when you're doing 70 and he's doing 30. 60-40, you're never going to ever do 50-50. Because you know what? 50-50 means it's perfect. It's never going to, at the time, be 50-50.
But, like, I think 50-50, is all about the mindset. I honestly feel like 50-50 is the mindset. If I'm giving you my all, then I'm giving you my all. If my all doesn't equal to yours, that doesn't mean I'm not giving you my all. You know, like, because I'm giving you my all, that's 100%. If you're giving me your all, that's 100%. That's what I mean by 50-50. I'm not talking about my job is paying this much and yours not doing too much. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's all about how you treat me.
Okay. Let me ask this question right now, and this is for everyone. And before I ask the question, I just want to say thank you to my listener and Megan, had to get off the air. If you are listening to the show right now, go ahead and call in and let me know that you're listening. The call-in number is 646-595-4522. This is Real Talk Radio. You can definitely send me a tweet, KaceRail. Twitter.com, definitely IM chat, Blackberry, message me, whatever means you know how to contact me, just let me know your list. I do appreciate it. So here's my question. Do you think by us now having a black president is going to change the way the rest of society, black men?
Do I think?
Black do you think it's going to change the perception? Do you think that Obama's going to help, you know, the perception of the black man?
Honestly, I feel like, as is every black man, that sees another black man in a position of power, it helps uplift him. I mean, it automatically liberates them to make them want to go out and do whatever it is to impact society in a positive way. I mean, you look at any high power black man, that's what he does. He gives people hope. So, yes, I feel like he will uplift us, or he will, spark a chain reaction. I feel like the future for the black man is going to be even greater.
Okay. Well, I have a caller on there, a new caller on there. Hello, this is Terrell. Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. Is this Mr. Connor?
This is Hasim Connor, yes it is.
Oh, all right, listeners. Our guest calling in of the day, Hasheen Connor, very well-known author, just put a book out there. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
I'm happy that you're having me today. How's everything?
Is real, you know, keep it 100% real. And let me just tell the listeners right now, you will probably be one other person who has more opinions about everything that is so controversial other than me. It would be Mr. Hasheen. He has more opinions that are controversial than mine, and I really didn't think that was possible until I met him. So would love to hear your comment right now about the evolution of the
Well, the evolution of a black man. I've been listening a little bit, and I noticed that we've touched base on Obama taking office and how it should or how it might affect the black man as a whole. I believe that him taking office affected some of us. True. I believe that it affected children more so than anything, and the parenting aspect of the black man, because now you can honestly tell your child you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. You have that option at this point, because you can actually, if everything in your life goes right, you can possibly be president. Before that, we didn't have that option. You had limitations on what you could tell your child you can grow up to be. You could always say you could even be president, but nobody ever would believe that, and a child wouldn't even believe it. Now, as far as the effect that it has on black men as a whole, even before Obama took office, black men, there was a such thing as black men taking care of their children. There were a such thing as black men as positive role models in the society. They were available. It just wasn't as prevalent as people are making it known now. There's still a big hole, a gaping hole, in the inner cities of our society, there are positive role models who are black, but as soon as they become positive role models, a lot of them flee the community that they were brought up in and rarely return.
Okay.
So any child can turn on the news or turn on the television and see a positive role model. They can go to the show and see a positive role model, but is it in their actual neighborhood where they can touch and feel that positive role model?
Okay. Now, you mentioned the point that, you know, they leave the neighborhood that they grew up in, they kind of leave it. I know that there's one, you know, celebrity in particular that I heard yesterday that, you know, he admits it. Yes, he left where he was from because you can't take the hood with you. Was sort of the comment that he made. Well-known, who definitely tried to stick with the neighborhood and bring everybody with him was Michael Vick, and that was one of the things that many people sort of said that was his mistake. That you cannot bring the hood with you. Once you sort of get out of that, you have to leave it behind because
I
hold you down.
Now, see, that if we're going to start a Michael Vick discussion, I understand where you're going with that. Michael Vick did nothing wrong, with the exception of he didn't, I think my grandfather used to tell me, and I think it's an old saying that everybody, every old person uses from time to time. You can give a person a fish for a day, and they'll eat for that day. But if you teach a person how to fish, they'll eat forever. Now, Michael Vick made the mistake by giving a fish to whoever it is he was dealing with. He gave them something. He carried them instead of, you take a guy like LeBron James, LeBron James said, okay, I'm going to take the hood with me. I'm going to take my friends who I grew up with me, but you're gonna be able to do something. So he sent one friend to college for sports management, and he started his own sports agency.
Okay.
Now, if you have, unfortunately, we as a people have that crab in a barrel mentality. If I can't get to your height, I'm trying to pull you back down to my level. Instead of us turning around and pulling that next person up to our level, we'd rather stay on our level and feed the people down below. No, if you have any type of information, if you have any type of intelligence, if you have any type of anything that you can feed the community with, give it to them and let them come up to your level.
Okay.
And that's a mistake that we tend to make as black men on a regular basis.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. You know what? I 100% agree on that. That's great. I wasn't going either way with the thing, but that's a great perspective. It would be better to sort of teach them how to fish rather than just give it to them. And that is one of the things. Now, you probably understand this as much as I do, that – you know, that expectation of I should just give to you just because you are. People don't really understand that it is a struggle. Not in the sense of, you know, like, I don't really know how to sort of explain it to them in that sense. But once you get to that point of where you're trying to get there, like, yes, it was a struggle to get here. I had to fight my way to get here. And to stay there, I have to fight to stay here and to keep my nose clean. So I can't just give to you, you know.
You're absolutely right. Another thing my grandfather told me, anything that's given to you, you don't appreciate. But if you work for it, then you appreciate it more.
100%.
I didn't appreciate the first pair of jeans I bought. I mean, I didn't appreciate the first pair of jeans I got because my mother and my father bought those jeans. My mother bought those jeans for me. But once I started buying those jeans myself, I took better care of those jeans because I know how much I paid for those jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So once you work hard and to obtain something, you have a stronger it tends to be more important to you.
Yeah, you have a stronger appreciation for it because you know what you had to do to get there. You know this. So you definitely know, okay, if I don't take care of this, I have to do this again just to be able to replace it. So I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to definitely appreciate it more. So I totally, totally agree with you. We are coming into the close right now. So, Cliff, are you still out there with me?
Yeah, I'm still here, but unfortunately, I'm at home. I got to get ready for the first afternoon. It's been real. I add you as a friend, so hook me up. But
what
I did enjoy the show. I said, yeah, I'm here, but I did enjoy it. I got to click it now.
All righty then. Thank you, Cliff, for calling in. Real Talk Radio, you kept it 100% with me. Jordan, I would definitely like to take your ending comments as we come to the end of the show. I want to thank you for calling in. Any last thing you would like to say?
No. Listen, I think everything has been touched on to an extent. So, yeah, I'm all right.
Everything has been touched on to an extent. Well, thank you so much for calling in. This is Real Talk Radio. Hashim, definitely want to say thank you for calling in. Got a few minutes left. I would like for you to just take the time right now to tell the listeners exactly who you are and talk to them about your new book that's out because I know it's hot. I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to. I know it's hot.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. This is Hashim Connor, author of Karma, The Learning Curve, and the new release is The Congregation. The Congregation is it's about relationships, marriage as a whole, and it also touches
touches base on the church as we know it, or as some of us know it. The basic premise of the actual book is it's about three different couples. You have, give me a second, Amber and Mark, the Comans. You have Asia and Terrence, the Williamsons, and you also have Veronica and Isaac. Just three different couples at three different times in their marriage. The one couple has just been married, and they're going through their struggles of early marriage. They're newlyweds. They just had a baby, and Mark is pretty much forced to marry Amber because his father is the pastor of the church.
Wow.
Not to give too much of the book away, I promise all my readers it's going to be another great read from me. I hope everybody goes out and enjoy. You can check me out at Conversations with Hashim Connor at blogspot.com. You also can catch me on Facebook at Hashim Connor or the author page, Hashim Connor. That's HASHIMCONNER. And you can definitely email me for more information at hcconnor@yahoo.com.
All right, definitely. And if you weren't able to get all of that information, you can always, you know, send me an email, a tweet, or whatever, and I have all of Mr. Connor's information so that you can definitely find him and check him out. Great author, great work, definitely need to support our own first and foremost. I'm just going to say it, take it how you want to take it. We always need to support our own and not have that crab in a barrel, you know, attitude. Let's just not do that. Let's lift each other up rather than try to bring each other down. Hashim, definitely want to say thank you for calling in. Hope that you will continue to check out the show and listen every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
I'll happily be there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Anytime.
All right.
Well, we're wrapping up the end of Real Talk Radio. Today we were talking about the evolution of the black man, the perception of the black man. You know, did he get a bad rep? I don't know. The discussion today was 100% real. Totally enjoyed it. I don't know. It seems like every week these shows end too soon. There's just so much to talk about. There's so much to say. So definitely want to let you know, Real Talk Radio, every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. I'm your host, everybody's favorite Southern Belle, Miss Kay Sherelle. Definitely check me out on Facebook, fan page, Kimberly Sherelle. Follow me on Twitter, ksherelle@twitter.com. I'm on MySpace, Sherelle Inc. Check out the website. If you have not checked out the book, Silent Tears, you have no idea what you are, like, missing in your life. You definitely want to check out Silent Tears. I also want to let you know I have a new work coming out. Hopefully it will be out March 2010. It's called Diary of a Cougar. And let me just say that the title is probably the most dull thing about the book. The book is definitely going to be real. It's fiction, but I promise you, I can't write fiction unless I've had some type of encounter with what's being said. So, you know, it's 100% real. Please check it out. You have any friends out there who have not checked out the show, definitely want them to do it. Next week, same time, same place. Wishing everyone again a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, Happy Merry, be blessed. Thank you so much for listening to Real Talk Radio. Your host, Kimberly Sherelle. Tell a friend, tell a foe, tell anyone to check out the show. Definitely 100% real right now. We're going to end, although I have a big ego, you know, but we're going to end with, you know, my favorite Christmas song, Donny Hathaway. Love him. This Christmas is going to take us out the air. Again, thank you. I love my listeners. You're the best.
to know you better.